spilled tonight, I believe there's a seed. I believe that God wants to place a seed in your heart. I just feel tonight that everything around you has been bigger than you. It's been greater than you, that you feel like. I just feel that this is what God speaks on my heart, that there's things that have overwhelmed you. You feel overwhelmed. You feel the pressure of things around you. But God, you've got a secret weapon. If you open your heart and believe and know that you have a great and mighty God that loves you, He will fight for you. If God be for you, come on, who can be against me? If God be for me, who can be against me? I have a God that loves me unconditionally. He loves me. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that He loves you? Do you believe that God wants to do good things for you? He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out His goodness. He wants to pour out His power. He wants you to know Him. Hallelujah. With no strings attached. Hallelujah. That you let down your guard and you just say, in a vulnerable place. Man, that's the most, that's the scariest thing to do. Especially if you've been hurt, you've been burned, you've been things that come against you. But I want you to know, in the most vulnerable place, when we step and touch God, when we know Him and say, God, I can't do it in my strength, I can't do it in my might, He breaks things off our lives. We break shackles. He breaks things that cause us to come up out of deep places, places we can't get out on our own. God will reveal His greatness to us. All through the Bible, God is revealing. He desired to reveal His greatness, His glory, His power, and His might. And He needs people to open their hearts and be vulnerable. Say, here I am. Say, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Show me Your glory. Show me Your power. Show me Your greatness, God. We give You the glory tonight, God. Thank You. I pray to God, Lord, that You just bless Your word. Let us have a heart to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless somebody. Have the children go. Come on, encourage somebody. Shake somebody's hand. Come on, we do that a lot here. Hallelujah. If you don't like touched, I'm sorry. Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Come on, we've been talking about, listen, last week we talked about what God wants to build. This is God's building plans, amen. God has a building plan for our lives. And if we respond to it, amen, there's something about it, an understanding that when we trust God and trust Him, amen. We talked about it last week when we take a blueprint, you open up a blueprint, and the first thing you do is you begin to look at the details and the plans and the measurements and the widths. And as you begin that thing, you cannot go too far to the left or too far to the right, but you got to stay with the plan. Tell your neighbor, stay with the plan. I want you to know that God has a plan for you, hallelujah, and it is bless you and prosper you, amen. God has a plan for you. He doesn't want to come against you, but He wants you to be blessed, amen. Why? Because you are His children. Any father wants to bless his children. He wants to bless you. He wants to let you be the image on His behalf in the earth. Is that good news? Listen, He wants you to be His image in the earth. Listen, I want you to understand that when we receive Christ in our hearts, we receive Jesus in my heart as my Savior. I want you to know that it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. So what image do I have? His image. His likeness. Amen? So, let's open up the Word of God. And we're going to look at Luke. I think it's Luke 8. Luke 8:5. But before we get there, I just want to share with you that last week, I want you to understand the power of God's Word. I want you to know that to be part of God's building plans and to be participant, we've got to be willing to receive what God has for us. Has to have a heart to receive what God has. Amen? So we need to have a willing heart. Say willing heart. And the other thing we need to have is we need to be speaking the right things. We need to declare the right things in our lives. We need to take God's word and let it be truth. You know, I want you to get this and know this, that this is faith. If you've never heard this before, I want you to know, say, explain faith to me. Believing what God said is true. Believing what God said is the truth. Amen? I want you to know that sometimes people have the wrong image of God and present the wrong image of God. And sometimes it's corrupt. Amen? Sometimes it's the wrong image. Sometimes it's been broken. Sometimes it's out of a place of hurt and out of a place of brokenness that somebody represents that image and likeness of God. But I want you to know, here's the powerful thing. We have to know the Word. Amen? Say, know the Word. We need to know the Word. The Bible says, we have the Word what? It'll make us free. Amen? That Word will set us free. It'll loose us from whatever tries to hold us back. That's the power of God's Word. So we need to have God's Word in our life. Amen? Amen. So listen, so here's what I want you to see. And the powerful thing is, do you remember last week where we started was this? Do you remember where John the Baptist, remember where he was coming out of? He was coming out of the wilderness. You remember that? Remember the word he was carrying? He had a message. He had a message. And that message that he was declaring, he had a word in his heart. I want you to see tonight, I just want you to get this tonight, to understand that God has given each one of us that we receive it by faith. There's a word within us. That word will break you. Come on. It'll break you out of anything that has come against you. That's the power of God's Word. It's Christ within us. Amen. Christ within us, the hope of glory. It is the power of God desiring to break us out of any situation. I want you to know that God wants to reveal His glory. He wants to reveal His power in you so that you represent who He is. Do you know the most powerful testimony? I have a powerful testimony. What? It's overcoming addiction of a drug addiction. It was the power of God's Word that I believed that God loved me and God wanted to bless me. That God wanted to use me, amen, to represent Him. And when I received that word in my heart, that word broke every chain of addiction that was in my heart, and it broke out of me. And it was just like John the Baptist, that when you got that word in you, no matter where you're at, I want you to know that there's wilderness seasons that we have, but the only way out of your wilderness, about your trauma, out about your addiction, or hurt places, or broken places, or complacent places, or selfish places, amen, come on, because we've been there, the only way to get out of that is God's Word. And it's out of that place. So He came out of the wilderness with a Word. Amen? He began to declare the gospel. He began to preach the gospel of Christ. Make way for the Lord. That's what He declared. And I want you to know that's powerful for us to see. What am I declaring? Because I want you to know that we wonder why we're going around and around and around. What is coming out of my mouth? What am I declaring? Am I letting God's Word break me out? Come on. Or am I using words or saying things or not moving out of that place and staying there because I'm not declaring what God says and declaring what God believes about me? Amen? So tonight I just want you to see this. So we got to declare that. Amen? All right. So come with me tonight. That was last week's message. And I wrote this down. This is the thing I want you to hear, is when God's Word comes, how do we receive God's Word? Look to your neighbor and ask him, how do you receive God's Word? See, because this is powerful, because we got to understand that it's God's Word, it's Christ in me, understanding that His Word breaks me out of things. I just want you to get that in your head. You know that it's God's Word, that it's God's Word that comes forth. You know, we declare and we pray and we declare that, God, You said this. I didn't make this up. You said this, that You love me. Come on. You said that You forgave me, God. You said that no longer I that liveth, but You that live in me. Amen? You said that whatever weapon forms against me, hallelujah, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And all that rise up against me shall fall. That's Your word. Amen? I want you to know that that's what prayer is. We got to understand the power of prayer is declaring God's word back to Him. And I want you to know this. See, God, He cannot be a liar. We got to declare back to Him. You say, I want you to know that you might not get your breakthrough right away, but you need to keep praying. You need to keep declaring, because that word is like a seed that we need to take that seed and we need to keep declaring it and keep receiving in our hearts and let that word take over. And I want you to see tonight how powerful that is. And what am I doing with God's word that comes in my life? And it comes in different ways. Come on. It comes in different ways. Different shapes and different sizes. It comes in different ways, different avenues. It comes through the radio. Come on. It comes through worship and praise. That tonight, that we sing these songs to open our hearts up, that we can understand and hear and say, wow, God, you're great. That's why we say, you know, sometimes we repeat things. You know why we repeat them? We repeat them because sometimes we might and say, but why are you repeating that? Stop and ask yourself, am I receiving that word? Maybe I need to know and believe that He's great. Maybe He's just whispering in my ear. And He's not going to stop until I say, yeah, great. You're great. Great is my God. And greatly to be praised. Amen? Great is my God. I want you to know that, see, and being vulnerable and opening your hearts up to God and letting God reveal Himself to you gives you the opportunity, for Him, the opportunity to reveal His greatness to you. It's in those moments of faith. It's when Peter was on the boat and Jesus says, he's standing there. And he said, Peter's standing there in the boat. He's in the boat. Amen? I want you to know that's easy in the boat. There's all these disciples there, but there was one that said, I want to know you as great as our Lord. I want you to know. I want you to know as Lord. I want you to know as Master. I want you to know in a greater depth. He says, you're walking on the water. You're out there, God, and I'm in here. I want to get there. Come on, amen? There has to be something within us to say, I need to get the word. I need to get that word in my heart. I need to believe that word because that word is empowering. I got saved because I spoke the word. I declared it in my mouth. I confessed with my mouth that you're Lord. And when I confess that, that word caused me to become free. Amen? I'm free because of the word. Say the word. So Peter was in the boat. And Jesus said, he was out there. He says, come on, Peter. And Peter got out of the boat. And he began to walk on the water. Amen? We get so caught up in when he began to drown. But I want you to know that I don't care how many times I go down. I want to pursue the word. I want to ground the word. Sometimes that word, it takes time. Sometimes it's my faith, my little faith. Sometimes it's bursts of faith that I have sometimes in him. And sometimes we have less. Sometimes we have moments. Remember, come on, I say this all the time. Sometimes there's moments in our life that we feel like the wind is beneath our wings. Come on, you got those moments in your life where you're just soaring, man. Come on, you walk out of here tonight. I want you to know that sometimes we'll walk out of here tonight, God will speak something in your heart and you'll take that thing, you'll be in power. But sometimes things come against us and try to pull that word out of our hearts. I want you to know that sometimes that's real. I want you to know the enemy would try to do that. But so I want you to understand, me to understand, how am I receiving that word? Because that's the powerful thing. What am I doing to receive? How am I receiving that word in my heart? Amen? All right. Listen, he says, and this is in verse 5, 8, 5. And he says, and a sower went out to sow a seed. I want you to see this and understand that God is, he's everywhere sowing his word in your hearts. But somewhere, somebody spoke something. You're here tonight probably because somebody sowed a word in your heart about Jesus. Maybe when you were in Bible school. Maybe you were in VBS somewhere. Come on, you remember VBS? You know the. Maybe it was somebody on the street. Maybe it was just somebody in a most oddest place, and they sowed something in your heart. I want to be that sower. Come on, I want to be not afraid to sow God's word in somebody's life because somebody's desperate. Somebody's out there that God wants you to be the sower, to sow into their hearts His word, not my opinion. Come on, not my opinion, but sow His word. To sow life into somebody. To speak something into somebody's heart. That they could come out of their wilderness. Why? Because I came out of mine. So I take what I got and I sow it back. Do you know that's powerful? Listen, I want you to know that. There's something powerful when you let out of you what's in you. Come on. See, that's what God, that's why people become stagnant. Why people just, they go to church every week and they get, and they stop giving. They stop giving out of their hearts. They stop giving and they forget about where they came from. They forget about what God did to them. They forget about how that God pulled them out of a miry clay. How that God rescued them. How that God loved them unconditionally. They forget that part. But we need to be sowers of God's nature. We need to love those people. We need to love people. We need to begin to reach out to those ones. We need to not forget where I came from. I need to have my heart right when I walk into Walmart. I said Walmart. I don't walk into Walmart very often. I'm not a Walmart guy. I'm a Kmart guy. Not even that, actually. But no matter where you are, Doesn't matter where you are. I want you to know there's something powerful about that when we release what's in us. And that's faith. Because your faith is being built at that moment when you're releasing what's in you. Because if you release what's in you, that means that you think there's something in you. But when you start giving, you start dying. You get that? Amen? Listen, he says this. And he said, and some fell by the wayside. Say wayside. And it was trodden down, the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell by the rocks, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell by the thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked them. And all fell on good, and the other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he said these things, he cried. He said unto them, he that has ear to hear, let him hear. Let me look at this, and I want you to see this. The wayside, a rock, and thorns, and good ground. How am I receiving God's word? Because I want you to know that every area of these places in, right here, that there's different opportunities for me to receive God's word. Every one of these things, the enemy would do everything he could to destroy the seed, the word of God in your life. Come on, I don't know about you, but I'm challenged every day to stand on God's word. Come on, in every area of my life. Some days I feel like the wind is beneath my wings. Come on, maybe 4 or 5 days. But there's some days where everything's falling apart. Come on, hear me now. And I got to dig down deep. Come on, I got to get down in that place. I got to get down to that place. And I got to stand my ground. Tell your neighbor, stand your ground. Come on, I got to stand my ground. I got to fight for that place. It's not by my works, but I got to stand in that place and not let nothing come and separate me from Him. Come on, because I need to declare on His word. He says, nothing separates you from my love. Nothing, neither height nor depth nor principalities nor power nor angels nor things seen nor things unseen. Nothing. Tell your neighbor, nothing. Nothing. So I need to stand on His word. And sometimes it's hard to stand on that word when you feel like God might be against you. You might feel like it. But we don't go by feelings. We go by God's word. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's what I know. It's what's in my heart. Whew. Listen. But He said, they that have an ear to hear. How many of you guys don't have ears? Anybody here? You all would have ears. So He says, anybody who has ears, let them hear. Now, that sounds funny, doesn't it? Because everybody's got ears. But I want you to know that He's declaring something. He says that you have ears to hear. I want you to know that we've talked about this before, and I've explained it to you this way. But there's different times that, and I relate it to people this way. How can you not hear if you're listening and hearing? There's people that tonight, even tonight, that you might not hear what the Lord is saying to you. You might not hear. And I pray that you hear. Amen? Can you not hear? I want you to know that, listen, I could be in a room and my wife can be talking to me or my daughter could be talking to me. And if I'm entertained by something, something that has my attention. Come on, Frank does this to you sometimes, right? Yeah, he's watching the game. Watching the game. Come on, amen, Bill. Watching the game, and you're watching that game, and your wife or your daughter or whoever it is tries to talk to you, and they can't. Women are looking at me funny because you got to know what I'm talking about, right? And they're trying to talk to you. They're trying to get your attention, and you can't hear them. Why? Because you're preoccupied by something else. You're hearing something else instead of hearing what is being said right there. They that have ears, let them hear. I want you to know that I went through 12 grades without hearing. I succeeded. 12 years without hearing. I didn't have an ear to hear what the teacher was saying. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. And it says, and the disciples ask him. See, this is right here. Here's what they said to him. He said, they asked him because they're like, what are you talking in parables? Like, why are you talking this way? Because he's talking to those that have ear to hear, that are in that place that desire to hear. That we are in a place that, God, Lord, I need to hear. I pray that we become in a place that we want to hear what God has to say. And he says this, and he says, and unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing that they might not understand. And I underline two words, and you could see them right here. And he says, unto you, say unto you. And then down here, it's they. Do you see the word they? So you can underline them in your Bible. Because, listen, I want you to understand that we are one of those two people. Either I'm a you or they. Either I'm a hearer of the word or I'm not. Either I am a you or a they. And I want to be a you. I want to be a you that I receive God's word in my heart. Amen. And I stand on God's word. So let's go to down here. And this is the parable. And he says that you might understand. He says, now this is the parable explained. And the seed is the word of God. So we know that God's word is a seed. Amen. It is the seed. And those by the wayside are they. Say they. That hear. Then cometh the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This is why we got to understand that the enemy will use anything he can to disrupt and to cause you not to take hold of that word, because it's powerful. Amen? That word is powerful. Because I want you to know, it's God's word that breaks you out of things that you can't break out on your own. Come on. It causes you to overcome. By the word, hallelujah. Amen? Come on, amen? By your word, hallelujah. It's by your word and the blood of the Lamb that I overcome. It's by the word of God that I overcome. It's by what He did for me on Calvary that causes me to have power to overcome. So He's declaring something. He says, and those are by the wayside. He says, the devil comes. And the word devil here means accuser. I just want you to get this, amen? I want you to hear this and understand something, because there's something powerful, and there's words that are powerful and meanings that are powerful here. And he says, the accuser, that's who it, he says, and devil takes with the word out of the hearts. The devil, the accuser, takes the word out of the hearts. Now that word accuser, I found out that word is, it's the accuser, it means the accuser of a brother. But it also means this, you ready? Listen. That word means category. Category. Does that sound familiar to you? Remember that show? What was that show called? It was called... What? No. Do you remember a long time ago? It was a show called... Scattergory. Help me here. No, you aren't that old, are you? This was like 1980s, I think. Remember the words? And they would take a word... And you would have to put it in a category that would line up with that word. And you'd have so many times to declare that word. Listen, I want you to get this. See, because the enemy does things that are hidden that we don't really see that he's doing. Come on. And it's a big deal. And this is how he gets us the first part of it. Because what happens is the enemy will put you in a category. Tell someone category. Ask somebody, what category are you? I want you to hear this. See, because they received the word. He says, in the word by the wayside. And they couldn't receive it. Why? Because it became a category to them. That they're a category. Which means this. That the hardest thing that I had to overcome was me reminding myself of who I used to be. And I was in a category that I was labeled for years was a drug addict. Come on, maybe to somebody else who was you were an alcoholic. Or maybe to somebody else that you were labeled whatever that thing was. But the enemy wants to do everything he can to label you so that it reminds you of who you used to be. Come on, that you might have been a liar, you might have been a cheat, you might have been a thief, you might have been all these things. And what the enemy will do, he'll try to categorize you, he'll try to accuse you and put you in a corner to make you think that you're something that you're not no more. And what happens is if we believe it, tell your neighbor if you believe it, the seed will be snatched from our hearts. I watch a lot of people come in and go out. I watch a lot of people get moved by God, touched by God. It was real, powerful. And what happened? I want you to know the enemy was standing behind them, reminding them of who they used to be. And I want you to know that we need to be at that place that I showed you last week. Remember how the enemy with Peter... Everybody was here last week when the enemy was there. And Peter told him, he said, get behind me. Or Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Whatever's trying to get in your way of God, we need to tell it to get behind. Say, get behind me. Because that's where it's supposed to be. Because your past is not your future in Christ. Come on, amen. I'm no longer categorized that way. And the Bible even declares that there not even in a sense whether we can understand that there's no more male nor female nor Greek. Amen. There's no more black nor white. Come on, or yellow, no matter what it is. We got to understand. But we're by the Spirit, that we know one another by the Spirit. Because if I remind myself of who you used to be, come on, you'll never get over it. Come on, if I come up here every single Saturday and declare who you used to be and not remind you of who you are today. Come on. I'm here to remind you who you are in Jesus Christ. I'm here to bless you. But we got to know the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know that scripture? Come on, where's it at? It's in John 10. John 10:9. Let's look at that real quick. You okay? Yeah, here it is. And the thief, a thief, comes not but to steal. He's come to steal, to kill, and destroy. That he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. What does he come to kill, steal, and destroy? He's come to steal your identity. That's the first part right here. I want you to see this. The first part that we looked at where the enemy came to remind you of who, put you in a category. He's come to steal your identity of who you are in him. He wants to steal your... I want you to know, listen to me. I want you to know, before I knew Christ, that my identity was stolen. I was born into sin. It was stolen from me. Hallelujah. My identity, who I am in Christ. And by becoming born again, receiving Christ in my life, I have a new identity. Amen. I come back to my original identity. That thing that's been stolen from me, I get back what was mine. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen. And he's come to kill your authority. I got this written down on my wall downstairs. And I think it's powerful because he wants to take your authority from you. Do you know that God has given to you, and I talked to somebody about this last week, that they come and something traumatic happened to them when they were young. And because of that, they were labeled in a category because of that thing that happened to them. And that thing's hurtful. That thing's broken. But I want you to understand that sometimes we have questions. And I want you to answer this right here now. That sometimes there's things that happen and we wonder why God let this happen. I want you to know that this is powerful because we got to understand that, listen, God, His plan and His purpose is to reveal Himself through people. But sometimes people do wrong things. But God never wants to, He don't want to change His plan, because His plan from the beginning was to reveal His image through His children, through us, His likeness and His image. And it's powerful. But sometimes people take that authority and try to rob us of our authority. And they hurt us because of it. Come on, I want you to get this and know this, that sometimes somebody will rob you of your childhood. I know many young people that have been abused or molested and hurt. And because of that, it robbed them of their identity, it robbed them of who they were, and it robbed them of the authority that God wants to give them to walk in this earth. Amen? It robbed them. But I want you to know that that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to stop you because he knows how powerful you are. Why? Because you're God's image and God's likeness. And when you know about it, you're powerful. And you have authority. So he wants to rob you of that. He wants you to focus on the past. He wants you to focus on the hurt and all the pain and all that stuff in the past. But he says, I've given you life. I've given you resurrection life. I've given you power to come up out of the dead place. The place that destroyed you, that killed you, that left you broken, left you hurt. I've given you power to come up out of that wilderness place, not to stay there. Listen, your authority is up for grabs if you don't walk in it. It's up for grabs. Authority will do you no good if you don't use it. It's a tool. And when used properly, it will produce results. However, if it is not used by you, the enemy will use it against you. The enemy is able to occupy vacant seats of authority when believers don't rise up and take their positions in the Spirit. I want you to know the sad thing about it, the thing, the chaos that even exists in our city, is because the church has not took the authority that God has given them in that city. Come on. I believe as a church, I want you to know that, listen, there's an authority we have, and I believe it's powerful for us to pray. It needs to be more than two or three people in the back room. Come on. We need to take our authority. We have a voice to declare things in the heavenlies. We have a voice to declare to the enemies that are out there to know that we're here. Come on, amen? That we're here. And we're not going to leave. Hallelujah. That I'm going to stand in the authority that God has for me. I'm going to stand in it, and I'm going to declare it. Hallelujah. I'm going to declare it. That's what God wants us to do. Amen? Because the enemy will take that place. The enemy has done that in our city. He's taken a place that's our place. It's our place. Amen? Perfect example. You remember a place called Jericho? That was not their city. That was not their place. That was not their ground. It was the children of God's ground. But they built a wall, fortified city, and it says, nope, you can't come in. I want you to know, they used their authority that God gave them to declare something, hallelujah, that the enemy took from them. And they declared it, and the walls that surrounded that city fell. Why? Because they believed, and they walked in the authority that God gave them to walk in. Come on, amen? Not by might, hallelujah. Not by power, but by the Spirit of God. And everybody around said, do you hear about those people? What people? The people of God. He's the God of Israel. Wow. See, that's personal. He wants to be known as the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. He wants to be the God of Randy. Come on, the God of Pat. He wants it to be personal, that you know your authority. Amen? Listen, Moses was in a tough place that he was when he was younger. Come on, you remember what happened to him in Egypt? Remember Pharaoh told him, he says, if you come back here, I'm going to kill you? Come on. And remember when he went with God, he tried to run from his past, and he stood in a place, and God met him there, and God revealed himself to him, and God says, guess where you're going? You're going back to Egypt. And his mouth dropped open, and he began to stutter. Brother, I don't know what to do. How am I going to do this? And he began to speak to him, and this is what God told him. He says, you go tell them. He says, how can I tell them that I come? He says, you go tell them the I Am sent you. You tell them I Am. And when you declare that, you speak it as I Am. You speak it on my behalf with the authority that I gave you. And whatever you declare, hallelujah, I will loose. Come on, amen. What you declare, I will declare. What you speak my words that I've given you. You speak those words. And guess what? God broke them out of that place. It didn't look like it at first, didn't it? Come on, it looked hard. Everything he spoke, the enemy got tried to raise up and get higher, tried to replicate it. But he stood in his authority that God gave him, his father gave him. And he says the last one was to destroy your purpose. To kill. To steal, kill, and destroy your purpose. Your plans that God has for you. The plans that God has to reveal who He is. Amen? To you. And He wants to kill that. He wants to destroy it. He wants to crush it on the ground. Amen? Listen. I just wrote this down. John 13:1. Let's just look there real quick because I love this. There's clocks on the other side. Did it switch? You switch sides on that clock? I did. I thought it was gone. Yeah. Listen, this is powerful because I want you, and I want to give this to you because just, I want you, you okay? You okay? I believe this is powerful for us to get this and to reveal some scriptures to us. This is in John 13:1. And I want you to know that we need to use the Word of God. And the Word is Jesus. And we need to walk in that Word. And we need to walk in the example of how Jesus dealt with the enemy when the enemy came. He wanted to use the Word. He wanted to declare it. He is the Word of God in the flesh. Amen? So He represented the Word. So I need to represent that Word. I need to be the walking Word of God, walking in the flesh. Jesus was the Word of God. All the Word that God declared, He sent to the earth and became flesh. Do you know? Look to your neighbor that God wants His Word to become flesh. He wants His Word to walk on the earth. He wants His Word to dominate. Amen? To overpower. He wants His Word to have authority in the earth. To have power and strength and might and to show His glory, His goodness all over. So here He is and He says, and now before the feast, the Passover, when Jesus knew the hour was come. Woo! Listen, he knew what was happening. He knew that he would be beaten. He knew that he would be flogged. He knew that he'd be hung on a cross. He knew that he had to die. Come on, amen? He knew that it was going to be hard. He knew that it was going to be, this is going to be a tough moment. And he says, and was come that he should depart out of this world, out of this cosmos, out of the, and he says, and unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Say, unto the end. Listen to me. He finished. He didn't let nothing steal that word, the seed that was in his heart, that he was sent to do. I want you to know that, listen to me, that you are a word. You. You are a word from God. You are a message. You are a song that God wants to sing for others to hear. You are a message. That's what Jesus is. Look at Jesus. He became the Word, the flesh that dwelt among us. And we look at that Word and understand that. That Word is powerful. That Word is so powerful that God wants to do that in our lives. God wants to be that Word become flesh in our lives. Walk in the earth. That's powerful. But I want you to know that the enemy wants to destroy that Word. He wants you to feel you have no purpose. He wants to feel you have no identity. He wants you to destroy that. All through the Bible, the enemy did everything he can to destroy that word. Do you remember how many... Remember Herod? He tried to kill the seed. Remember how he... Remember the scripture we talked about, 2 Kings 18, talks about Joash, where it says that Attila... It says that when the baby was born, it says that she tried to destroy all the king's seed so that he couldn't have a representative in the earth. The enemy knows that you are his representatives in the earth. You are his image in the earth. And if he could destroy the image... Listen. And it says, so Jesus, he says, own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He never stopped. The seed was never destroyed. Listen. And supper being ended, the devil, say the devil. The devil, the accuser. Come on. The one who tries to categorize, it says, having now put in the heart of Judas, he says, Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. He put something in his heart to betray him. Listen. And it says, and Jesus knowing, I love this. How does Jesus and how do we deal with betrayal, what the devil does? Come on. We need to not let it get our attention. We need to let it not snare us. The enemy wants to use snares to try to snag us, to get our attention, to focus on him and make us think that God's not great. But I want you to know this is how God, Jesus, the Word of God, dealt with the enemy when the enemy comes, because he comes. Amen? Come on, I want you to see this. He comes and he tries to steal and kill and destroy. But this is how Jesus dealt with it. You know, one of the biggest things is when we're betrayed, when you're hurt, when you lose trust in somebody. Come on. When you lose trust in what you think of God, or when you lose trust of somebody in your life, that somebody's around you. Come on. Maybe a mother, a father, a brother, or somebody at the church, or wherever that is, that you've lost that thing. How did Jesus deal with betrayal? This is what he did. Remember? Come on. And Jesus acted like it never happened. It was acting like he wasn't even in the room. He didn't even pay attention. He didn't give him a second. This is what the Word. We need to declare the Word. And I want you to know that this is how he dealt with it. Because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But listen to me. If you know who you are, know where you're going, and know where you came from, you overcome. And if we know the Word and what God says about us, what God declares, because that's all that matters, it doesn't matter what the enemy says. Come on, amen? Listen, and it says, this is powerful because I want us to know that he continued. He knew. He knew his identity, he knew his authority, and he knew his purpose. He knew who he was. I know who I am. I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going. I will finish the work that the Father began in me. I will finish the work. He spoke a word, for God so loved the world that he sent a word. And his name is Jesus. He sent his only begotten Son, that whomever believes, confess that he is Lord, will not perish, lose their identity, lose their authority, lose their purpose, but will have everlasting life. And I want you to understand something, that God, we're not just talking about sometime over in heaven.
Come on, it's not some other day, it's not some other place. But God wants us to have eternal life, and it wants to begin it now. Tell your neighbor Zoe. Zoe is abundant life. It's a life and power that we get from God's Word that empowers us. Say dynamite. That's the power He's talking about. See, I want you to know that dynamite, did you ever see an explosion? Where something just blows up? It gets everybody's attention, doesn't it? Come on. It gets everybody. If I light a fire, my wife threw a firecracker at a cat in the house.
Not me.
Or Kristen did, yeah. Now, you know those little poppers? They agitate each other all the time. She attacks her, and Kristen attacks back. She threw a little popper, didn't hurt her. Don't look down on us. I mean, you gotta have fun somewhere, right? You know. But no, and the cat freaked out. The cat took off. It got the cat's attention. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? In the house? The cat's face? But it caught the cat's attention. Listen, I want you to know that, listen, when there's an explosion, God wants you to be like dynamite, dunamis, power. God wants it to be powerful, not...
Hey.
So I want you to know that, listen, we're in our own flesh. I want you to know that God wants us to have life. We do everything else as substitute to try to find life. And but God says, by my Spirit, you will have life and power. And I'll cause you to get out of your dark places. I will empower you to do that. That's what happens when we take God's seed, put it in our heart. We will produce fruit. Amen? We will produce power. And we'll be examples. Well, let me get to this. Come on, let me finish here. Luke 8. Listen, and he says this. 8:11. And let me finish it. And he says, and the devil, the accuser, he says, lest they should believe and be saved. But if you believe and don't listen to the accuser, the enemy, you'll be saved. Amen? And then he says, and on the rock, he says, there which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. This is the next one. And every one of these ones that somewhere along their lives, we've had this happen to us in our lives. Every one of them. Where the enemy will try to accuse us and we believe that who we used to be. Or we'll be in a place where that word, that we receive it, but the enemy, come on, that it doesn't have any roots. It doesn't go down deep. It doesn't get that deep. Because why? Because I want you to know, see, the enemy will be somewhere, someplace to offend you. Come on, help me. He'll be somewhere because I want you to know that sometimes there's things in us. And sometimes when something stirs and we get offended by them, we need to stop for that moment and not look just at the offense, but we need to say to ourselves, why am I being offended? Come on, help me, church. Come on. Because I want you to know, because listen to me, Jesus said some things. And He says some things. His Word sometimes offends me. Sometimes it says things. Sometimes He declares things. And sometimes that word, it wants you to know that you get what I'm saying? Sometimes that word offends me. Like, oh, I got to do it. Love your enemy. And what I mean by that, sometimes I take offense to it. Sometimes I'll take, well, you don't understand God. No, I do understand. That's why I died for you, so that you're able to be empowered to love your enemies. But I want you to know that sometimes that's hard. Sometimes, and we all will be offended sometimes, but we can't stay that way. Tell your neighbor, you can't stay that way. We can't stay in that offense. We got to get over it. We got to get away from it. We got to run from it, because what it'll do, it'll cause us to dry up. It'll cause us to fall away. It'll cause us, that offense, to cause us not to come back. And the biggest thing I see today is people being offended at church. Do they have a right to be offended with church? Help me, church. They do. Because the church has dropped the ball. The church hasn't been an example. They've got right with God and they've dried up. And they act holy. They act righteous. And because you got a tattoo or because you got this on you, they label you or they categorize you. Say, well, I don't know if I could love you that way. Because they got a piercing where you don't have one. Oh, sorry. Or whether you, I want you to get this. Come on, help me tonight, church. I want us to get, see, the church has done that. The church has got familiar with the way each one of us look. Come on, whether a color of our skin. Come on, amen. Well, the way we're supposed to worship together, amen? We're supposed to worship one another, hallelujah, with one another. We're here to lift up one another's hand. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what color, what race, where you come from. Doesn't matter if you came from being an addict or whatever it is in your life. Guess what? We're called to worship God together. And in worshiping God together, guess what will come out of those places? We need to worship God together. You can't stay mad at somebody if you're worshiping with them. Come on, help me. You can't stay mad at somebody when you're worshiping God with somebody. You're blessing somebody. You're standing right beside. If you are, I don't know how you do that. But I want you to know that there will be a falling away. And that's the biggest thing for us, that we can't stay in offense. Trust me. I've been offended by the church, but I couldn't stay that way. And I have a message in my heart for the church to say, don't stay that way. Don't stay in offense. Mom, I've watched some of you that you've been offended by things, but I've watched you grow up out of that thing and say, you know what, I won't fall away, amen? But I'll move from that thing. I have done that. I have been in a place where I knew that even though the church has hurt me and I got hurt by the church when I was younger and my dad did everything he could to protect me from it, the church still hurt me. But I want you to know that when I ran from it, I want you to know when I met Christ, he came into my heart, I knew the one thing I had to do was love what he loved. Because he loved the church. He loved his church. He loved his people. And I couldn't stay mad. I couldn't be offended no more at the church. Because the church has dropped the ball. But I want you to know, we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're the flavor. We need to lead by example, every one of us. We need to not give up. We need to not run. We need to stand our ground and say, here I am. Amen? That's what we're to do. So that's the is for a while, believe in a time of temptation, fall away. Next verse. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they hear, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit. I want you to know that this is powerful because at this place, sometimes that there's people, they go through the motions, they get through the motions of life sometimes, and I want you to know that the cares of things begin to get on them, and they let them get on. We let things get on us. We let emotions, we let problems that are all around us get on us, and it begins to choke us. And it begins to choke us. It begins to pull from us, and there's no fruit produced. See, that's what the church has been. There's no example. We need to be the fruit. We need to be that. We need to love, joy, peace, righteousness, long-suffering, generous, kindness. We need to be that to the world. And we are that word when we receive the Word of God in our hearts and believe it and walk in it. Amen? Listen. This is a temptation. I want you to know that this, and every one of us, we got to see this and know that sometimes temptations come our way. We say, but God doesn't tempt us, but I want you to know that God tests us. He tests us not for us to fail. That's what the enemy does. But God tests us so that we see the quality of who we really are. We see what's really in us when we stand on His Word and let His Word flow through our lives. We're tested. God says, test me to know that I'm true. Know that I'm for you. Know that I'll be your strength. Come on, amen. Know that I'll walk through you through the valleys. I will walk with you in the fires, in the floods. Then no matter what, test me. I want you to know that they come. And the greatest moments that I understand and I've reached for God and I've let God's Word grow in my life is through those hard times, through those tough times, when I let God stand up on the inside of me. Come on, amen. And be a voice in my wilderness season that caused me to get out of that place. That's the greatest thing. And you give the enemy a black eye when you let God stand up in the midst of you and declare something instead of running, instead of dying, instead of losing the battle. But stand up and let God rise up within you and work out of your life. That's what we're called to do. That's what the church is called to do. To walk out of that place. But the last one was, it says it fell on good ground. He says a good ground. And they which are honest and of good heart, having heard the word. Here it is. Keep it. Don't let the enemy have any place. We need to cherish it and understand that word, we need to keep it and treasure it. We need to see the value in it. Come on, help me. We need to know the value of that word in our lives. And it says, and keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. 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 Just stand to your feet. We need to stand. We need to keep it. And with patience. That it breaks out. I want you to understand that there's something powerful about a seed. That everything, all creation is by a seed. You came from a seed. If you didn't know that, I'm sorry. Yeah. Come on, trees, plants, things you eat came from a seed that was planted. One of the greatest trees are the redwoods. They come from a tiny seed, as big as a tomato seed. Small seed. And it was planted in the ground. They last longer than any tree on earth. They last over 2,000 years. 2,000-year-old trees. And I want you to see this. Listen to me. They're made to withstand hurricanes, floods, fires, insects. They're made to repel all those things. There's something within them that is greater than us on the outside. And there's something unique that the way that they're built and their identity that withstands all those things. And one of the things is how that they reach up high. Where other trees will die because of drought and all those things. Because they reach up so high, they touch the fog, the mist that comes. And it falls down their tree and touches every part of that tree. When others die, they stand strong. And the other thing was, is that their roots, they don't go down that deep. They're only 6 to 5 feet deep. You look at it. And you'd think they would be really deep. But I want you to know, here's the power of them. That they connect with one another. They attach themselves with another. They begin to connect themselves with one another. I want you to know that, listen to me, that we got to understand that it's powerful for us as the church to connect with one another. I want you to know that our power is in unity. Our power is in oneness in His name. Our power in worshiping God one with another. Come on. Amen. That we are being encouraged. That we stand. That when the enemy tries to come in and we stand, the children of Israel, they worship God. And when they worship God, guess what? They worship together and the enemy was destroyed. The walls fell down. I want you to know there's something powerful in coming together. The enemy wants to destroy the seed of God's church. He wants to destroy the voice of God's word. He wants to break it up. He wants to destroy it. But I want you to know that we need to stand together. Amen. We need to be united as one. We need to be united and be your strength. I need to be your strength. I need to be here to lift you up, to pray for you, to encourage you, to be a strength in your life. We need to realize that we're not just on our own, but your word. And I'm a word. And when we connect with one another, we begin to make sense. The church hasn't made sense. Why? Because we've been individuals of our own. But when we come together and realize the uniqueness in one another, the word that you have, that I don't have, it'll make me stronger. That you have something to give me. And when you realize what you have, it'll empower me. Listen. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, God. I pray to God, Lord, that, Lord, as we hear your word to God, Lord, as you've been speaking this word to us to God, Lord, for the past 2 weeks, God, Lord, I just pray that you just strengthen us, God, Lord, that we understand that you have a purpose and a plan to build your place of habitation, God. And Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that you've provided everything through your Son. And Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that we have the power in your faith and faith to believe and to know, hallelujah, to God, Lord, that it shall come to pass. I pray to God, Lord, that we will be an example as a church of unity and oneness. I pray to God, Lord, that we will be there for one another, be strength to one another. I pray to God, Lord, that we, being in the center of the city, God, Lord, will be an example. Lord, that when others come in, when people come in to God, Lord, that they'll see the love that we have in our hearts for them that comes from you. That we'll represent you in the right way. God, I pray right now, Lord, if anything's in my heart, to God, Lord, I pray if there's anything in our hearts, to God, Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that it be washed by your word. I pray that You reveal it, God. I pray to God, Lord, that things that might offend me, God, Lord, by others or by Your Word, to God, Lord, that, Lord, I let Your Word wash it, God. And clean my heart, to God, that I represent You. Lord, I thank You. I bless You, God. And I thank You for Your people, these mighty warriors and saints. Pray to God, reveal Yourself to them, who they are, the likeness and image of You. And we will declare with all of our heart that we are. Amen. Amen. Come on. Go bless somebody. Encourage somebody. Give them a hug. Don't forget, we're going downstairs to set up tables. Meet everybody.